this book that's preached from a lot, that's quoted a lot, that's referred to a lot. But most people don't know a lot about the Book of Psalms. Most people don't know a lot about it. So I'm going to do a lot of questions tonight because I want to make sure that we understand this book and are very clear about it. And I don't want to get too deep into it without us understanding it. Understanding the context, understanding the development of it, understanding those that help put it together, and all of that will help us get into a clear understanding of what we'll be doing this month. So tonight we're going to talk about Lean On Me, Lean On Me, Lean On Me. Y'all know the song, Lean On Me. I'll cover the whole book of Psalms and an overview tonight. But we're going to talk about, because at the end of the day, what the book of Psalms does is it narrates a relationship between God and man where they have had to lean on God. Every psalm that you hear is a different depiction of the same relationship of you leaning on God. Am I making sense? We've all had different stuff go on where we've had to see God do different stuff. And in different songs, you've seen it work out. Whether it's weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know that joy comes because you leaned on God for it to show up. Amen. You can't have a thriving relationship with God if you don't have a dependency on God. You can't have a thriving relationship with God if you don't have a dependency upon God. Amen. If you don't think that God's going to show up, then you don't have a relationship with God. Amen? Amen. Lean on me. Most of the time, we sit there talking about, you know, I trust God, I trust God, I trust God, I trust God. The question is, can God trust you? That we spend so much time talking about what we did and how we feel like we can get all of this stuff accomplished. But can God trust you with trouble and at the same time get something out of you that you didn't even realize was in you before you started going through that? Sometimes in our life, we all have pain. We all have sorrow. Come on, somebody. First song I learned how to play on the piano. Lean on me. Lean on. You ever realize that you have a relationship with a God that you've never seen, but you believe? And why do you believe? Because every now and then, something in you kicks your faith into high gear. Something in you. And a song is written with that in mind of the in my time of adversity, he's there. Mm-hmm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You don't get that in pretty days, you know. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my. You don't find that out when everything is all right. You find that out when you've been. These psalms are there to help us get through some stuff. First verses we're gonna go to is not even in Psalm. We're gonna go to Luke. That's 24:44. Luke 24:44. It gives us a last conversation with Jesus and the disciples before he ascends into heaven. Luke 24:44. Luke 24:44. And it reads, he said to them, This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Jesus says, I had to fulfill everything that was written. What does that mean? Why is that in our study tonight? Because if Jesus has to fulfill everything that's in Psalms, then when you're going through something, you ought to be able to find your strength from learning more about what he came to fulfill. We spend a lot of time praying away the stuff that we've gone through as if God has not been there with us the whole time. And you learn about how he's been there when you go back and you write it down. Come on, y'all. Write the vision. Make it plain. So he says, write it big on tablets. So while you're running, you can read it. Write it big. So you can see it. So when you're moving, don't put it on a piece of paper. Let me put it in 2019. Don't put it on a piece of paper. Put that thing on the billboard. So when you're driving by, you know he's able. Don't put it in the Bible that you don't open up but once a week in the back parts that you're going to forget is back there. And you feel like you blessed when you remember that piece of paper. No. Every day. Just get it in your spirit. Bible says faith comes by hearing. That's continuously. It means over and over. It means that you keep hearing it and it starts manifesting because you keep hearing it. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be. And sooner or later, you feel like, you know, I think I'm going to be all right. He said, I had to come to fulfill what the Psalm said, what was said by Moses, the prophets, and the song means that when they go back and search scripture, every time they talk about the Messiah coming, the Son of God, they talk about the Godhead coming down. Whatever they said, when it's all said and done, I'm going to nail see me. Why are we talking about that in the middle of the song? Because literally what we're saying is that if you have this faith that these Psalms are talking about, they are important. Songs are important. You can't ignore songs. Your life got a soundtrack somewhere. You got a song make you laugh. Come on, somebody. You got a song make you cry. You got a song that you can just ride and then just let it play. You got a song that'll take you somewhere. You got a song make you remember something you don't want to remember no more. Just it sneak up on you. Everybody has a song. Whatever your song is. Some people share songs. You know, that was a memory with them. So when the song come on, they think of the other person. Yeah. Songs have power. You don't dance to the same song at your second wedding you danced to at your first one. You don't share that. You don't share that. Some stuff ought to be sacred. It's some stuff you shouldn't. Come on, son. Stuff you shouldn't want to do. The book of Psalms. Let's go to the next one. Next one is Psalms 150. Y'all all know that. Everybody. We can hit that for choir anniversary every year. Psalms 150. We're talking about leaning on me. Leaning on God. Leaning on the one that's able and worthy for you to lean on. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise God in the mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the string and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything, that's the one that I want us to focus on tonight. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you finish with all of that other stuff, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Okay. I'm talking about this book of Psalms. It's literally summed up in the last number, in the last verse of Psalms. Because all of the rest of it doesn't make sense if you don't think it qualifies and talks about you. The problem we have as believers is that most people think that this Bible doesn't talk about them. Ain't talking about them, ain't talking to them. They don't know why y'all go to church all the time, because there ain't no God like that who let this be happening with us. And if you y'all know how to just, they go on a tangent about what you should and shouldn't do with your belief system. Oh, thought that was Jesus. Like, that ain't me. Okay. Lost my train of thought. It qualifies us. Everything has something that qualifies you. What I'm literally saying is that there's some stuff in your life that you go through that other people won't be qualified for.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Y'all ain't charged. This mic is off. There's some stuff that you go through that other people won't be qualified to understand. Praise is all throughout the 150th number of Psalms. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise Him in the sanctuary. Praise Him with His mighty in the mighty heavens. Praise Him with the acts of power. Praise Him for His surprise. All of that, it makes sense. But you have to understand that praise is only predicated by what you can see and put your hands on.
Yes.
What you've experienced. If you feel like that, if you have a positive outlook on that, then you put a praise on it. You don't praise God for getting fired until you got another job. Ooh, they took my car. You ain't shouting. You needed a car. Amen. Then when you get another one, God made a way out of no way. I got you now. We good. That's praise. Understand this. That praise is predicated upon performance by God.
Amen.
You can't praise Him for what you ain't seen Him do. You cannot praise God for what you have not experienced in your life. And most of us can't get out of it because we ain't accepted the fact that we've been in it. Praise Him. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Can't do that if you ain't in the sanctuary.
Come on.
Come on. That disqualifies you. Can't praise Him in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the sanctuary. But I ain't got to praise Him. I don't go to the sanctuary. Jesus. Come on, somebody. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. I don't know what that said. Y'all tell me what that show up. Yeah, come on. That's what I'm talking about. The people that don't. Because you can be in your car and give God praise. To understand what he's literally saying is they were trying to say that they were trying to get to the sanctuary of God. And when I get there, I'm going to give Him some praise because it cost me something to get there.
Yeah. Amen.
It wasn't as convenient as it is today. And today it ain't that convenient. It might be an inconvenience, but it becomes. It's the weirdest. I don't know how to explain it because I don't know it. Y'all got to help me. I don't understand the church of today. I understand so much and I've defended it so hard, especially in the last couple of weeks with people about church, because I've went to a couple of meetings and they, you know, talked about how bad the church is, how bad a shape the church is in, how these people don't go to church. And I don't know about that. So, but the part that left me confused is the ones that come don't want to have church. I can fight and say they come. I'm looking at them every week. But then they get here and looking at me like, I did my part. Mm-hmm. What's the why come?
Yeah.
You just can't look at me? Praise him for his acts of power. Can't do that unless you realize he had some mighty acts of power.
Yep.
He ain't done nothing for me, huh? So Saul said, by the way, what have you done for me lately? People don't have a respect of God's power because we take credit for the good stuff and blame him for the bad. When it's good things happening, we just, you know, life is good. When God say, well, you ain't give me credit for when it was going good, let me step back and let you see how this thing really should work. Now you're talking about, God, where you at? Well, I was there right there. You act like I was. Okay. The book of Psalms as an entirety, it's weird because it's applicable only if you apply it. If it's like the answers in the back of the book only help you if you took the book home. You don't learn the book. You don't know the answers in the back. You ain't even opened a table of contents to see what's in the book and said, I don't know how to do this. Two books of the Bible, that's quite different. The book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs. Understand that these two books don't depict a certain specific place and time. They are a collaboration of multiple times that were books of knowledge and worship and praise. Books of knowledge was the book of Proverbs because it was Hebrew Proverbs that were put together in a book. They were not all one long proverb. Don't let nobody tell you that. They were really individual proverbs that it was like little snippets that would make you think. That's why you can read it and read one proverb and be through. That's why it's one of the few books you don't have to get context because most of them are standalone. They, you know, but everybody has proverbs. That old African proverb says, if you don't think little things matter, spend a night in a room full of mosquitoes. Mm. Proverb. Chinese proverb says, every journey of 1,000 miles start with one step. Literally means that if you don't look at it. Another Chinese proverb says the best way to devour an elephant is one bite at a time. Literally is talking about if you got a big project, just start and you'll finish sooner or later. Just start. You don't have to bite it. You sitting here trying to come up with a plan, pull out your knife and fork and go for it. Quit trying to figure it out and do something. That's the proverb. So that was all the proverbs. But then that's the one book. But then the other one in the Bible is Psalms. And Psalms literally is the accompaniment for the Bible because it's like the hymnal for the church of the Hebrews. So when they went to temple, they would sing these songs in chorus, which is why we don't have chapters. We have numbers of Psalms because they are numbered. These are the numbers of Psalms. They are divided into stanzas. And they were able to be picked out. The problem is time has left us no melody to what the songs sound like. Which locks us into a problem because you can't have effective worship to God if your lyrics ain't right. Because if the music don't make it, your lyrics ought to at least minister. Now, I can't tell you what key Psalms 23 is in, but I will tell you that he is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. I don't know if I'm supposed to raise my voice, holler, start off in E-flat and modulate by the time I get to verse 6. But just reading it, I'm feeling like it ought to be some. I'm pretty sure they had high church. By the time they got to verse to the sixth verse in 50 and said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Somebody shouted. I don't know what none of these are. Ain't none of these got no verse on them. No keys, no time stamps, no metrics of beats per minute. Whosoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I don't know if that was a fast upbeat. That was a slow anthemish. But somebody shouted when he said, I will not feel the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Somebody said, I ain't scared. Y'all don't want to talk to me. I'm talking about the Book of Psalms. It's the hymn book. It's what their Psalms 91 is, probably had the same power that the blood of Never Lose His Power has to us. It meant one thing to us. It meant something else to them. Because they said, I ain't going to be scared because I'm covered. And we said, it'll never lose. I'm talking about that thing go everywhere. It reaches to the highest mountain. See, you ain't got to be in no A flat and raise that organ up to do nothing. Just quote that thing. And it ought to just. Because the power of a real song is not in the melody, it's in the message.
That's right.
If there's no message to the melody, all you've done is manipulated my emotions. It's the printer. I'm shaking, but I ain't better. I feel better, but I ain't changed. Watch this. I've been convicted, but I ain't been converted. Because there was no conversion in what you told me, because there was no power in the word. Psalms. I'm just walking through the Psalms. Okay. First thing, we're going to talk about the importance of the psalm. I'm almost through. The importance of the psalms. David wrote about 73 of the psalms. If you got a real decent Bible, in the first part of each number of song, it'll tell you who it's by.
Okay.
A decent one. But then in some of them, ain't no name. Know why that is? They don't know. You look in our hymn book, and some of them ain't no name. They don't know. That's why anybody can record, Guide Me Over Thy Great Jehovah as I pilgrim through this barren land. Because they don't know who wrote it. You ain't got to go get clearance when we don't know where you got it from. But if you line it right, in the right verse, in the right key, in the right sanctuary, it'll shift the service. The importance of Psalms, the importance of this book. What is a psalm? A psalm is a sacred song or hymn, in particular, any of those that contain biblical book of Psalms, contained in the biblical book of Psalms, and used in Christian and Jewish worship. Sacred songs. What makes a song sacred? I'm asking y'all. Okay.
What it's used for? It depends on the people that are singing it. It's only special to the people that sing it.
Okay. So let's be controversial. I ain't got nothing else to do tonight. Let's be controversial. So are we in agreement with Y'all said it depends on who's singing it and where they singing it, right? I'm asking.
What makes it sacred?
Yeah, what makes the song sacred? Huh? I'm asking a question. No, ain't no right or wrong answer. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. I'm asking questions. I ain't even got into the trick stuff yet. I might not even get that. Sacred. So, is Kanye West singing sacred music? And he didn't travel the country.
To his family.
To his family?
Well, he's singing gospel music, but some songs, no.
Which one?
Because he's changing the words to some secular songs.
Okay.
Like one genuine song. No.
Okay.
I ain't heard that one.
I did. Yeah. I watched the whole hour.
I did.
I'm asking.
He changed Bone Thugs and Harmony to a gospel song.
I'm asking. Ain't no right or wrong. I mean, it is right or wrong, but it's not.
I'm not
judgment
about it because I honestly feel like some people, like, they argue, but if you are trying to reach them and it's giving you a message, but it coming from the good book, if it's telling you words from what God's words are, I don't know what God gave him. Just like God gave them words, he might have given him words to fit his audience. So I don't know.
Okay. That's a fair statement. I'm not into disagreeing with anybody. I want us to talk about this because songs have power.
Yes, absolutely.
They want to kill Ray Charles because he started changing church songs to blues songs. Y'all tell me how y'all feel about this, because then I'm gonna come up with another one in a minute. I got another example. Let's go personal.
I really don't care because I feel like he's reaching an audience that the church is not reaching. People is getting saved. He has not done anything. He has not cursed God. He's not cussing. Gospel music is music you feel that's based on biblical truths. And a R&B song just says baby. If you change the words and say, Jesus, I love you, versus baby, I love you, it makes it a gospel song. I mean, and the sacredness of it resides in your heart and who you're singing it to. Because there's been times when tears have fallen out of my eyes and an R&B song was on. And I was thinking about you. So I can't judge, but that song pulled me somewhere that I was just like, Lord, it's you, God, and I'm in my own place. So I personally don't listen to Kanye West. Because I am not a new Christian. I am a seasoned believer, and there are certain songs that do it more for me. But for a new convert, if you are dipping and you saying, Jesus, walk, that makes them feel like Jesus is walking with them. I need more because I've been walking a long time. Okay, so I'm not judging what they got going on. I just need a little amazing, they're humble with it, so I personally don't care.
Let me be devil's advocate. I'm with y'all, but I've listened to both sides of this argument. I've stayed out of it, and that's why I ain't getting in it tonight. I stayed out of it because, one, I don't think that the preacher side of me has nothing to say about this. I have nothing to say as a preacher about this, mainly because his word and his presentation seems to be at a more dedicated level than those that are supposed to be doing this every week. So I can only approach it from that. And his presentation doesn't involve any preaching. So I took my name out the hat. Because some preachers was asking me, and I said, let the musicians handle that because he on their toes. He got a word, then we need to talk. Am I making sense? He ain't preaching. He did an hour-long concert at the altar. The musicians' issues. Ain't mine. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Come on. Wait.
The only thing I can't question where his faith is or the depth that it is, that's between him and God. But from somebody on the outside looking in, I question it because his events are exclusive. They're not open to all of his fans. It's a select few that he allows in. Mm. And so if...
No. I'm not talking about the those were the warm-up choir rehearsals. We found that out after Mark and him let that out of the bag. Now what he's doing, he's going to churches. You seen them going to churches? And
I haven't actually seen it. I've listened to the commentary.
Oh, no. You got to see it.
They said that it's almost an invite only or certain people are allowed.
Oh, no. That was the warm-up. That was months ago. That was when they was getting their choir selections together. Now they even took the act on the road. They didn't went to Chicago, California, Atlanta. Last week they was in New York. I don't know. The only issue I have, this is the only problem I have, is I can't, because y'all know I stay out of stuff as long as I can. Then it gets on me because, you know, in Facebook they keep commenting and they keep notifying you. And I just be like, no, I'm going to let them, I'm going to stay out of it. My question was, why? And I watched it. I watched it twice. I watched it when he went to New Birth, and I watched the end part of it at Fellowship. And I was talking to some people about both of them. And my problem was, even with him not being in church as long as most of us have, most of his songs had more Bible in them than a whole bunch of other people's songs that be there every week and on the payroll. That's all I had an issue with. And the man said he was saved. I ain't question nobody else, so I can't question him. Now, he did put in one of his songs that he wrote Jesus Walk, so he couldn't go to hell. I did hear that in the song. That was on the album with Jay-Z. But that ain't had nothing to do with what we was talking about. I just thought y'all should know. The man said it. But he said he found Jesus, helped him get his mental health back together. He got himself on back. But I mean... Yeah, he did take Genuine's song.
Maybe it's me. I just can't.
I got you.
But they had all the
Genuine, you know.
How much? But I know two or three preachers that
the song they had for every word they had a verse on the screen for what they took the.
I'm with you. I'm non-biased.
Because when I heard it, I was like.
That's so anxious.
Yeah.
The problem is for me. This is my thing, and I want to. And this is why we have this Bible study. This is why we talk. The problem is that I've been exposed to youth ministry, so I know two pastors that are pastoring mega churches today. That both of them, when they were youth pastors, had sermons called "So Anxious," but it was a youth sermon that reached the people because the song was hot then. So they came out and was, they kids hated it. Their daddy was up there preaching "So Anxious." But they was killing it. I mean, I learn to say anything, don't I? So, but it's.
But there are other songs that have been taken from gospel or something like that, and they turned into secular songs and vice versa. So that.
I don't have an issue with it either. I mean, they wanted to stone Tasha Cobbs because she put Nicki Minaj on the track.
Right.
And I thought it was a decent verse. Eh? She ain't cuss.
My thing is, we can't judge these people on how they make their money.
That's what the church do, though.
And that's why we lose so many people.
I'm with you.
We have to, and we have to meet people where they are. That is just, I keep saying that. But
so y'all cool with Kanye coming to Victory?
Bring him out.
I'm going to go. Get
he can't be up here an hour. I'm for it.
No,
that hour is going to be shout.
Yeah.
No, we're going to have to rephrase that whole hour. Yeah. That was my only problem.
I don't care who you are.
Who's staying an hour after church to hear you, Kanye? I'm not that interested. But I ain't that interested to hear nobody after worship.
They had already been there since.
Yes, they had been there all day. Like they had their regular worship, and then he came up at the end, right before benediction, and started an hour long. That's what my pastor and me had stood up and was like, that's the problem. Y'all had a concert. Y'all wasn't free at 3? Y'all ain't heard of 3 o'clock? Okay. Kanye good. But does his songs have, are they sacred songs? Okay, Webster definition. Sacred is anything that's toward God. It's your sacred worship, it's your sacred song. Is he singing to God? But we can't know that. I mean, you going into the man's heart.
Well, the song lyrics is written to God.
The one song that I heard him sing was the song that we sing. And that was,
All Praise.
Yes. Hallelujah, Salvation, and Glory. That was the one song that I heard.
Oh, he sang it.
Right. So,
hallelujah.
So,
how much? That's
a good one. And we can't say that this man just started going to church either.
I'm saying Bishop Lester loves song, worldly songs, and said it depends on who you're singing to.
Call out my bishop.
Y'all wasn't going to tie him to you. She used to be his youth pastor. She used to sit in the room. This man got up at the church and said, some people want it all. I don't want nothing at all if it ain't you, Jesus.
Yeah.
If I ain't got you, Jesus. That's what he said over the pulpit.
It didn't last about 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, he about 14 minutes.
I seen the video.
About 14 minutes in Nashville, Tennessee. And he sung. But he sung all worldly songs for about 15 minutes. But he turned them, turned them to sacred, saying that if it all his, what he kept repeating was, it all depends on who you're singing to. I mean, y'all tell me. I'm asking because we have this thing inside of us that, you know.
God speaks to people in many different ways. I cannot say who God will speak to, how he will speak to them, and at what moment that song might touch somebody's heart and make them see Jesus for the very first time. It's not for me to say. That's between him and God.
The reason I'm asking this is because to understand that songs was written by murderers. Wait, most of the songs were written between two people, Moses and David. They both killed people.
He slept with David.
The kingdom. He was a bad boy. He was too hot to try. Yeah, am I making sense though? If we're going to focus on what we know about them, there's a lot of songs that we sing that are written by people you might not want to call friend. That are gospel songs. Now, Kanye West just happens to be a celebrity in the world that we've known for a while by his other music. But the truth is that there's a lot of gospel songs that are written by people you don't even know their name.
But we're all messed up. We all
come on, so bad. That's where I was going in the beginning. It took us 20 years to get there. That's all I was looking for. That's what I've been looking for 10 minutes. Next slide. That's all I was looking for. Well, somebody to say, hey, who am me to judge? Because at the end of the day, my judgments come off as something completely the opposite of what most people would say. Because my one judgment was, this is an hour after church.
Yeah.
And they stand now. I can't get folks to stay to the benediction.
And it's about 200 people in the choir.
In the choir. Traveling. I ain't get 200 in here. He got 200 on buses.
Our names ain't got that much
power. Y'all get what I'm saying? I'm coming up, but I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like the approach though, so I
mean, it's different. Yeah.
Different.
It's hot, but it's
he has a choir, it's just not a select few people.
Yes. I got you. I got you. Teachers all. I got you. I mean, if he got it, but he got a choir because a choir showed up.
Yeah, they was in there.
Yeah, I mean, if it was Selma Midnight, then it'd be a whole different.
Yeah, I think it'd be a whole other
situation.
Situation if it was only like him and 7 people.
Yeah, ain't no prayer meeting for 7 people.
Yeah.
I mean,
they ain't gonna let you just interrupt for no 7 people.
Yeah.
Brother Wes.
Music speaks to the heart. Watch this. And can bring up an emotion of helping or hurting. The right message at the wrong time will tear you up. Oh, I just thought you should know. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Well, can I have my night first? You come over here talking about I ought to be through with this by now, but I ain't had a good night's rest yet. Let me cry. I get tired of people at funerals and stuff telling people you can't. Hey, we don't mourn like those that have no hope. I got you, but right now, let me have a moment. I tell people sometimes the best thing to do is to shut up. Just shh, don't say nothing. Everybody ain't got. And if you don't know the book well enough to know when to apply what, choose not to apply anything until you know you got the right bullet in the gun. Amen. Because what you do to try to help somebody at the wrong time really could stunt their growth. You keep telling them by his stripes he healed, but you need to explain what healing really is, because death might be the end of this. Amen. Then they die, and you done told them that God was going to heal them. Now they say they God let them die. Now God don't love me like he loved you. Now you don't hear from God. Now, bad application. The book of Psalms is divided into five sections. Anybody know the five sections? First section. Five different hymnals made into one. Psalms 1 through 41. First book. Second book, 42 through 72. Book 3, 73 through 89. Anybody besides me got a favorite song? Yeah. Book 4, 90 through 106. Real quick, somebody give me your favorite song and why. Favorite song and why.
Psalm 27.
Psalm 27.
The whole chapter.
Why?
It talks about God protecting him. It talks about him covering me. And it also talks about him giving me strength through all different types of transition.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's a good one to stop at right now. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. In whom shall I be afraid? Come on, y'all. That's a good song. That's something that ought to stick with you when you get nervous. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I? Who's scared? Mm-hmm. Oh, man. The Lord is my stronghold of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? I like the King James version of this one. When the wicked advanced against me to devour me, and my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall, though an army besiege me, and my heart will not fear, though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord for all the days of my life. And I will gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, well, that's a good one now, he will keep me safe in his dwelling and hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. That'll preach all by itself. Now think about somebody singing that thing with about 2 million people in the audience. I ain't talking about 2,000. I said 2 million. The whole nation of Israel gets together to sing a verse. So David has written this song, and King want us to sing. Y'all, we need to sing this number. David was a writer. David was such a good writer because he was able to take what you had going on at that moment and put it in song. Most of us can't even keep a diary. You don't have... See, the problem with us is that we don't have landmarks to remind you of past victories. So when you get a failing situation, you don't have nothing to refer back to see his power. You can always make it through a Psalms 27 when you've had a Psalms 3. Psalms 23 is easy to write when you had a Psalms 1. And when you done went through Psalms 23, 34 seems really easy. I bless the Lord at all times. You know, after everything I done been through, ain't no need me a man no more. I bless the Lord at all times. Just pray. It's a sacred book. Last thing. Psalms in the key of life. We're going to talk about that lastly. Because that's what we hanging our hat on this month. Psalms in the key of life. First thing I've already mentioned, we call them number of psalms, not chapters. They are songs. Just like your hymn book, remember they are numbers. Please don't get up somewhere and go to the third chapter of Psalm. You will embarrass me. And I will tell them, I told them that it's not. Come on. What did Hillary Clinton get up there and say? Go to number 2 Corinthians. We ain't been to church. Ain't nobody told you what you're supposed to do. Ain't how you say that, baby. These are not chapters. Understand this. The Bible was not written in chapters and verses. It was written in solid books. It was broken apart to make it easier to digest. The book of Psalms was divided by the actual song. And they actually shouldn't be divided in verses. What it actually should be divided in is chorus and stanzas. Because some of them, you can, if you break it apart, you can actually see where they go and how they go and where they get. Because some of them, you think that it's repeating itself, but it's actually the verse going back to the stanza. Okay. From, y'all seen one of them before? Let me see. I think I know what one of them I got off the top of my head. I read a lot of songs last night. Couldn't sleep. That's not the one I wanted. I have to find it. The one I thought it was, it wasn't. All right. Second, it was created the same way our hymnal is written. Someone had a song. It was a sacred song. The requirements of the song. And it was easier to repeat, teach, and devour. It had wider appeal than just in the local community. And it was timeless. Understand this, that most of the songs that we sing today at one time were radio hits that are in the hymnal. We just too young to remember. Or if they weren't in the radio, they were. They made their way through the countryside through people singing. If you want to really be blessed, go find out where your favorite hymn came from. Because understanding that some of the stuff we sing, I'm not saying don't sing it. I'm just saying sometimes it's better to know where it came from. To know that Amazing Grace was wrote by a slave owner. That he was on the boat bringing slaves back and got saved. And sat down and penned Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. That's where the verse comes from. That saved a wretch like me. I realized that I was wrong. I once was blind, but now I'm found. Lost, but now I'm found. Blind, but now I see. To understand that there were the lady that wrote Pass Me Not was a blind lady. She couldn't see. Wrote over 52 hymns. And most evangelical churches wouldn't let them sing it right after she wrote it because they said it wasn't biblically accurate. So how can God pass you by? To understand the hymns that we sing.
I mean, even David said, "Inclined thy ear."
But.
So they gonna see how God can't hear you too? I mean, how God. It's an analogy, it's a metaphor.
The problem is that she was blind, so it wasn't a real way to argue with these people that were. And she was a sheep. In a time that they weren't as respected as they are today.
Blind man said.
So she. Because she wrote it because she was at the end of the hallway in a nursing home. And she would hear footsteps because she couldn't see. She would hear footsteps and people would be coming down the hallway, but they would be going to see somebody else. So she'd hear them coming towards her room and they'd turn off. And they'd hear them coming towards her room and they would turn off. And she sat in her room and was crying. And an attendant came in the room and said, "Are you okay?" She said, "Yes, can you take me down to the cafeteria? I want to play the piano." She sat down at the piano and thought about the people that were coming, but they weren't coming to her. And she said, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry when you hear me. Don't pass me by like these other folks did. Mm-hmm. I'm calling you Savior." Come on, somebody. To know where it came from. Know where your songs. Everybody's heard the song, the history of It Is Well With My Soul. Famous man, family died on a boat crash. He sent them ahead. History has contaminated the story because some historians say that it was one ship. Some people say it was the Titanic that his family died on. His wife survived by herself. His historical note that she telegraphed back to him back in Chicago said two words, "Survived alone." He went to go to Europe where she was, and when they got to the place where the ship had sank, the captain called him up to the front, told him that that's where we are. He sat down on the edge of the ship and penned those words. "When peace like a river attended my way, when songs like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul." Okay, get out of this. I'm through after this. See, y'all want my, I like history. I've studied this stuff because I like to know what stuff came from. Do y'all realize that the blood never loses power? I almost got thrown away at a barbecue. Andre Crouch had wrote the first verse and thought it was a horrible song, bought it up and put it in the trash. His nosy sister went and got it out of the trash and said, "Andre, you need to finish this." He said, "Oh, no, I'm not finna that. That's it sounded different in my head." She said, "Oh, you need to finish this. This is gonna be it." He finished writing. If it hadn't been for a nosy sister trying to see what her brother was doing, we would have never said that it reached to the highest mountain and it flowed to the lowest valley. How many old saints that shouted off of that, that wouldn't have been able to do nothing if it hadn't have been for a nosy? Come on, y'all. Y'all got to know your history, man. I mean, just the different stuff where people have written. I love when I used to be a minister of music, I would have songwriters week once a quarter. And I would invite songwriters in Houston to come in to not only teach their song, but teach the message behind the song. What brought you to writing this song? Because people connect to your message because we're all human. Mm-hmm. You know, I became friends with a lot of songwriters that way. Guy that wrote a song, God Meant It For My Good, Damian Price. He wrote that song after getting fired, sitting in his car. They said I couldn't make it. They said I couldn't take it. And what happened was he got fired from a job. And by the time he walked to his car, an interview he had went on 2 months ago, they called him back and hired him for a new job. Right after he got fired. No, he was leaving one office getting fired. And on his way to the car, got hired for another job. Sat down in his car and wrote, they said I wouldn't make it. They said I couldn't make it. They said I wasn't good enough that I should just give up. What the devil meant for bad, God meant it for my. Oh, y'all, this is the stuff that we see. To know, okay. Little known black history fact. Vashawn Mitchell wrote the song My Worship Is For Real in jail. He got picked up on parking tickets. Had expired license. Didn't get a new license because he didn't want to pay the ticket. He was sitting in jail and had church next week. Didn't know what he was going to teach the choir. I was sitting in jail, and had nothing else to do, so he started writing. He said, look at me in jail. People don't even understand what I go through. Trying to do right for church, trying to take out my life, trying to do. He started writing. You don't know my story, all the things that I've been through. You can't feel my pain, what I had to go through to get it. You know where stuff come from. That's where we pull our power from, because we understand my worship is real. But I don't know where it came from. To understand that V. Michael McKay wrote The Potter's House after a sermon Ralph West was preaching. And he was in the middle of doing it, and Ralph West was preaching Jeremiah 6. And they were in the middle of church, and he asked them if they were recording the service. And they said, yes. He said, don't stop after the sermon. Record invitation. And in the middle of, when he finished, he said, I'm all right. Yay! And in case you have fallen by the wayside of the light, the potter wants to put you back together. I'm talking about just in the middle of, oh my God, y'all don't get excited like I do. It's your life story. What I'm saying is, there's a song in you that might not be one that to be sung, but it might need to be written. Because everything you go through should be written, because you got a song in the key of your life. Might not be any flat. Just might be in you. I'm in the key of Otis today. That's what I'm writing in. I ain't for everybody to get what I got. Just. Because if somebody, watch this, and I'm really through. If somebody else can write a song that ministers to you, that you will feel the Spirit take over you, from their testimony. How much more power if you have your own testimony and feed it back to you? You know it got power. You was there. Because my worship. Come on, somebody. It shows us that God is more concerned about our lyrics than about the melody. Yes, absolutely. God don't care if your lyrics, if you was as fast as a speeding bullet or as slow. As a drunken sailor, whatever it is, do you. But get your story out. So this month, that's what we're talking about. Songs in the key of life. Some songs that should minister to you and some stuff that should grab you right where you are through this book to say, whatever I've been through, I'm going to make it. Whatever I'm going through, I'm going to make it. I got a song. I got a song to sing. We don't get excited about church anymore, so I don't know how to cue that up for anybody else. But back when they used to get excited for church, you had to, you would start getting ready the day before. So when Sunday came, you knew Sunday was coming. Now I got to, because Sunday coming, I can't miss church. They sang in my song Sunday. Okay. And it ain't about you. It's about somebody needs to hear my voice. Somebody needs to hear what I have to say. And the problem is that we've dumbed down what you've had to say because you hadn't even put it in your heart and it's only in your head. And it ain't marinating in your heart. So you just spewing out. Spew. And not ministering what God has for you. I'm through. That's it. We through. Let's prepare for offering. Let's prepare for offering. I hope that was a